Well, welcome back to the Iowa blog. My pleasure to be with you as we pursue what I consider is the most important piece of literature ever written. It's called Dode's Song. It's the 89th Mizmor. And if you are interested in knowing God, I think that the details of this song will lead you right to him. Now, if we pick up where we left off on our last episode, which was part three, and venture deeper into the 89th Mizmor, we find that the stage has been set so that the cast of characters needs to be introduced before the final battle begins. And in this drama, there is a clear villain as well as a hero. The psalm reads, "You humbled and crushed that which is comparable to the repulsive, reprehensible, and deadly nature of the pretentious pride and stormy arrogance of the boisterous afflictor and his false god. With your empowered and fortified Zeruah, protective shepherd and sacrificial lamb, you isolate and separate your adversaries." This is Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, Psalm 89:10. And in it is one of the most important titles ever uttered by God. One that I don't think anyone even spoke of, addressed, until I began writing these books 23 years ago. It is Zeruah. And Zeruah is a title that is afforded to three men. The first Zeruah was Moshe. The second is the most important. It's Dode, our Messiah and King, who came in his second of three lives to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. While I am not fit to tie either of those men's sandals, the fact of the matter is, according to Yahweh, I am the third Zeruah. And the reason for that is because time is now short and everything is riding upon God's people finally coming to recognize that God has a name, that name is important, that he has a son, and his name is essential, and that time is running out for his people to reconcile their relationship with him. And therefore, as the third Zeruah, I am the one cultivating the seeds of the final harvest of God's people. And so when God speaks of your empowered and fortified Zeruah, resolving the problem of those who have been arrogant and opposed God, he actually can be addressing all three men. And while this psalm is adroitly written as a celebration of David's lives and lyrics, Moshe spoke of him. That's who he was speaking of in the 18th chapter. And I am his herald. So we all play a role in uplifting and supporting, drawing attention to the Messiah and King of Israel. Now, since Yahweh is not the least bit pretentious, when arrogant men cop an attitude, God finds it annoying. As a result, he is going to crush the conceited. He is going to shatter those who seek to defeat his people. Chala, reprehensible and deadly in this previous statement, and Rahab, which I translated as insolent and arrogant, as please, are both singular in the prior statement, and therefore focused on a person, a nation, or a religion. And since Chalal addresses that which is profane and is very common, and Ka implies a broad association, this individual or institution, this religion, has had a defining and fatal influence over millions, if not billions. Their contentious pleas, reprehensible agendas, and deadly consequences have become universally known. Moreover, since God's concern is always for his people, any man, country, or faith which sickens those influenced by him or her must be destroyed for having sought to harm God's people. So we have a number of options regarding Rahab, and that Paul, Akiba, and Muhammad all qualify, as does Hadrian. They were presumptuous and pretentious, easily enraged and undisciplined. All four were annoyingly boisterous in their audacious promotion of false gods. Their confused musings and contentious pleas have led to senseless claims and behavior the world over. Their effect on those who foolishly believe them has been devastating and deadly. Each has inspired frenzied and senseless behavior, as well as an undeserved sense of superiority. You just look at how arrogant Muslims are marching in the streets of Europe and the United States and on college campuses, even after perpetrating the most disgusting and monstrous attacks in modern history, celebrating them. You look at Israel and the people that contribute nothing, that are just absolute parasites, and they are arrogant in their sense of superiority. Even on the far left, progressives who, you know, are marching in the streets and wrapping themselves in their flag and their very odd sense of values, mostly hypocritical, think that they're superior to everybody else. It's a time of exceedingly high and miscast, misappropriate egos, whether they're false gods, religious worship, or political mantras. Now, in this case, however, since Paul, Akiba, Muhammad, and Hadrian are, inshallah, dead, it is their reprehensible, confused, and fatal religious legacy that Yahweh is going to crush. The leadership and devotees of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and in particular Roman Catholicism have all been forewarned. There are two principal and one supportive Zoroa, as I mentioned, Moshe, Dod, and Yada, the mightiest of whom is Dod. The man of the greatest character would be Moshe, the one who is being inspired to tell you their story and to encourage you to embrace them and to come home, is Yada. So this would indicate that it is Yada who is the one being deployed to crush Israel's foremost adversaries and the aforementioned religions. Now, that would lead us to a realization that very few people have considered or may even be aware of. In all of human history, I'm the only person to hold all of these religions accountable. I'm the only person who has ever taken the time to rearrange the Quran chronologically, to set it into the context of Muhammad's life using the oldest hadith sources, and to write five volumes documenting in Muhammad's and Allah's words why Islam is so reprehensible, so out of sync with human decency and morality. No one has ever done that before. But I didn't stop just at Islam, which is today's most horrid threat, most sadistic foe of God's people. I did the same thing with Christianity, who for the past 1900 years have been Israel's greatest tormentor. Those five volumes are called Twistianity, and I did in them what has never been done. I took Peter's and Paul's, Luke's and Matthew's words, and I set them side by side with Yahweh's. I showed how, especially Paul, but also Peter and Luke, took Yanov's words and twisted them, took them out of context and misrepresented them to create a crude counterfeit and to promote that counterfeit as if he were the new and improved version of Dod. But it is Dod David who is the Messiah and the Son of God, as this song testifies. But no one else has ever held God's words against the religion of Christianity and done so irrefutably as I have done in Twistianity. And by writing the books on Babel, the three volumes detailing what took place in Babylon, I have excoriated the Babylonian Talmud and also rendered Judaism moot. No one else has ever done those things. And currently, because of the fact that progressives have dumbed down an entire generation so that they can no longer think, and that they have allied with Islam in a deadly death spiral, I've also taken on what I call libertard progressives, which are second only to Muslims in terms of the greatest threat to both Jews and to the planet today. Again, I stand alone in these things. I stand with God in these things. And that means that this role being described of this Zoroah at this time is a fair assessment of what Yahweh and I are accomplishing together. Well, this remarkable title, Zoroah, is based, as we have learned, on Zerah, which means to sow seeds. As we have learned, these seeds can be sown to disseminate the truth and produce nurturing results, including an ample harvest, which is among my primary responsibilities, the Shavuah and Teruah harvests. In addition, Zerah speaks of offspring and conceiving a family. In this way, Zoroah conveys the fruit of the Torah, of the Mizmor, and of the Mikre, and thus of the words that were written by both Moshe and Dod, as they were inspired by Yahweh. Now, I was not being presumptuous in saying that of the three candidates for this returning hero, that Dod was the best fit, because Yahweh's Zoroah is Oz, empowered and fortified, mentally acute, physically strong, and psychologically prepared as a shepherd. He is also ready, willing, and able to serve as the sacrificial lamb. And in this way, Dod is like none other. He is the ultimate hero, and he is the savior of his people. We all owe him our eternal existence. The reference to Pazar Oeb, isolating and separating adversaries, could mean that God is going to divide and conquer, separating Muslims from Christians and both from secular humanists, the progressives today. It could also indicate that he's simply going to isolate every party and creed, dispersing them from his presence. So what follows seems to suggest that Yahweh is justified in crusting his adversaries because the world is not only his, he must do so as he promised to protect his children. And if he did not intervene at this time, they would cease to exist. Islam is insistent on genocide. If he did not do so, he would also cease to be loving. The spiritual realm of the heavens is yours. The material realm, the world, and all that is in it is also yours. You laid the foundation for them and created them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor, the broken, the shattered, crippled, and crushed, which is also a high hill in Lower Galilee. It's the location that Deborah and Barak waged war against the Canaanites, the presumed location also of what is called the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the location where in 55 CE, 10,000 Yehudim were slaughtered by the Romans. And then in 66 CE by Emperor Vespasian, and later by Muslims and Crusaders as they fought there. It's from Tabar, and it means to be broken down and violently maimed. So, Tabor, the broken, and the Tremon, the banned, and the exterminated, the accused, mutilated and destroyed, which is a mountain in the Golan along the Israel, Syrian, and Lebanese border. It is the site of, was the site of intense battles in the Six-Day War in 1967, the Yom Kippur War in 1973 against Muslims, and it serves as an Israeli observation post to monitor the Syrian and Lebanese jihadists. This word is also incorporated into Arabic to denigrate, ban, and to curse Jews. And God says of these two, the Tabor, the broken, and the Tremon, the banned and exterminated, it should shout for joy in your name. Mizmor 89:12. Now, this distinction is also vital, and yet it is missed by religious adherents. Yes, a day will come when Yahweh and his Zeruah will use their words, mashal, demonstrably and vividly, to rule over the geuth, the devastating arrogance of the Yam, which serves as a metaphor for anti-Semitic Gentiles. Father and son will shabak, expose and stop, nasagal, those who have arisen by crafting deceitful delusions pertaining to them. On that day, Yahweh and Dod will daka, reject and defeat the chalal, reprehensible and deadly nature of Rahab, the pretentious afflicter, and his false gods, bringing the Zeruah, strong arm of God, down upon them to pazaz, isolate, father and son's Oib foes. And they will have every right to do so because it is their world, all of it. As the Creator, Yahweh is in an entirely different position than the rest of us. Now, we are not being called and should not rise up and slaughter our oppressors, as Akiba's followers attempted to carry out against Rome with such horrid results. We're not called to be terrorists, as Muhammad insists, nor crusaders, as popes have pleaded. Unless it is in self-defense, as was the case with Dod protecting Yahweh's family, we should limit our attacks to courageously wielding God's words. He will take care of the rest. Ridding the world of the influence of religion is not only God's responsibility, but he is also the one who is justified and capable of doing so. We did not create this world or conceive life within it, and thus souls are not ours to take. Moreover, God provided humankind with unequivocal instructions regarding behaviors he abhors, along with the consequence of pursuing them. Religions are in fact deadly, because the faithful do not listen to God. Their conquests and their inquisitions, as well as their intent to subjugate others, are entirely of human design. So there are two reasons here for mentioning Tabor and Tremon. First, these names are based upon words revealing that there will be a turn of fortune for Israel, particularly at the end of the time of Israel's troubles, which would be just shy of 9 years from now, beginning just shy of 2 years from now. God's people have broken and banned, have been broken, they have been banned, they have been subjugated and persecuted by Gentiles for 2,700 years, but their oppression is about to end. Second, the places where the chosen people were shattered and exterminated by the Romans and then the Muslims will become sites of great victories and celebrations. So this is prophetic of battles to be waged and won. For those who have suffered, salvation will be, well, especially sweet. Laments will become laughter. Pain and sorrow will turn to joy. And it is the Zeruah who will be working alongside Yahuwah during this marvelous transformation to make the world a better place. This is the second mention of Zeruah. This title that is probably as important as any in God's testimony. Beside you, the text reads, and on your behalf, La'ada. The Zeruah, the protective shepherd and sacrificial lamb, the one cultivating the seeds for a productive harvest, the very strong arm of God. With tremendous power, courage, character, and awesome ability, Im Gaboreth, with the will to fight and the capacity to perform, who accomplishes what needs to be done to become victorious. It's the feminine of Gabor, a mighty warrior, a valiant soldier, a capable defender, a courageous hero, worth noting, will be your strong hand raised up high at your right side. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, 89:13. Now, with these words, Zeruah, protective shepherd, sacrificial lamb, strong arm of God, soars to become Dode's most distinguished title. His nephesh soul manifests Geborah, character and courage, awesome ability, and tremendous power, particularly on Matzah, when in his second life, after fulfilling Pesach with his corporeal body, his nephesh soul carried our guilt into Sheol to deposit it there, never to be seen again. Dode is God's Azaz Yad, his strong hand, room raised up to serve as Yahweh's right side. So, methinks, Dode is central to God's plans. Thus far, Dode's name has appeared once in the 89th Mizmor, while Zeruah, sacrificial lamb, has been used twice to describe God's beloved. Once each, Dode has been called Bashar, the chosen one, God's Ebed, co-worker, and Ad-Olam, an eternal witness, a Mashal, an articulate leader who conveys his authority through Proverbs. The Yamin, right hand, the Azaz Yad, the strong hand of Yahweh. Therefore, do you suppose that the repetition of Zeruah, protective shepherd, and sacrificial lamb, by being the only accolade and title presented a second time thus far, suggests that it is the Mashiach's and the Melech's most revealing and important depiction? Before we review where we have been to answer that question, let's be perfectly clear. All of these things are being said of Dode, David, personally, including the realization that God has built a home for his throne and that he is establishing the covenant based upon his collaboration with Dode. These titles and accolades, indeed, job descriptions and mission statements, do not apply to one of Dode's descendants, as Judaism and Christianity insist, but to the Messiah and King himself. This admission alone is sufficient to take all of the air out of both religions. But there is so much more in the second Mizmor. For example, we learned that there was a religious conspiracy afoot to misappropriate the status and the authority of both Yahweh and his Mashiach, anointed Messiah, Dode. In the same psalm, God announced, Ben Ani Ata, you are my son. In the seventh Mizmor, Yahweh states that Dod was appointed Shaphat, judge, through whom he would vindicate and condemn the world. We read in Yeshayah, Isaiah 40:10, that God would be returning with his Shazak, empowered leader and impassioned defender. He said that his Zeruah, protective shepherd and sacrificial lamb, would be speaking for him. In the next statement, we're told that Dod would be the Ra'ah, the shepherd, tending the Almighty's flock. Then at the conclusion of Yeshayah 40:11, we learn that Dod is the one gathering God's lambs, Ba-Zeruahu, in his strong and capable arms, serving the flock, both as a protective ram and sacrificial lamb. In Solomon's dedication speech to all Israel, which is recorded in 2 Chronicles 6, the king's son revealed that the Nakri would speak of his father's role, Dod's role, as the Yad, the hand of God. He would reveal that Dod is God's Shazak, most powerful and passionate leader, and that he would affirm his Zeruah title. When we turn to 2 Samuel 7, we are reminded that Dod David is Yahweh's Ebed, co-worker. Upon his return, he would be God's Neged, most capricious, conspicuous, I should say, an informed God. God said that he would make Dod's Shem name and reputation, HaGadol, the greatest of all, the most glorified name on earth. In addition, Yahweh announced that he would Be'eth Ashah, engage with the covenant family and establish the covenant through and with Dod. As we progress to 2 Samuel 7:12, God categorically states that he would establish Dod's reign over his kingdom while reestablishing the family home inclusive of his throne forevermore. Then Yahweh revealed, Ani Haya Lahu La'ab Wahu, Haya La'ani Laben. I was, I am, and I always will be for him as a father, and he was, is, and always will be for me as a son. Mindful that we learn from repetition, Yahweh affirmed that Dod's Be'eth family and Malacca kingdom would Aman be established and endure ad olam as a restoring witness forevermore. And when we turn to the 103rd Mizmor, we discover that Yahweh's Barak, blessings, would be and will be provided through Dod's Nefesh soul. He would be the Gaal, the kinsman redeemer, who paid the price for us to live. Then in the 19th statement, we find another affirmation that Dod's Kese throne and Malakuth kingdom will serve as a mashal, a vivid picture of what we should expect to see in all things the Father and Son have done for us. Further into the text, Psalm 103:20 explains that Dod is Yahweh's Gabor, most courageous and capable man. Gabor is in the top two or three most important titles and distinctions afforded to Dod. Moving on to the 20th Mizmor, we discover that Dod will be dispatched as God's principal Ezer, collaborator, to assist those struggling through this day of trouble that is about to come upon his people. Moving through the sixth verse of this same song, we read that Yahweh intends to Yasha provide salvation through his Masiach Messiah, who is also Dod, anointed three times on God's instructions. This bold declaration concludes by saying that God intends to respond from heaven through the Geburah, the feminine characteristics, i.e. the nephesh soul, of the most courageous and capable leader, his Yamin, right hand, through whom he will Yasha deliver salvation. Then for those who require just a little bit more reminding, once again we read that the Melech king is the one offering Yasha liberation and deliverance. He is our Savior. Addressing Dod, the beloved by name, the Melech king is called the Shemach, the branch. And Yirmiyah, Jeremiah 23:5. This presentation concludes by reminding us that Yahweh Sadak Anaknu, Yahweh is our source of vindication because he is right. Now, those are the facts, and they are all consistent and compelling. Dod is the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb, the Masiach, Messiah, the Ben-El, Son of God, and our Yahtzeh, Savior. The Mizmor, Dod song, continues with these words. Being correct and vindicating, Sadak, being right, honest, and fair, being accurate, just, and acquitting, regarding executing good judgment and justly resolving disputes, Mishpat. Mishpat is a combination of my to question and thus to ponder and consider the implications of Shafat, making decisions, being discriminating, being just, executing good judgment. They serve as the foundation of your throne. Dod's throne is being upheld by the fact that he was right. And by being right, as it relates to fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, and through his Psalms, as he indicated precisely what he would do, that Dod is the one who is Sadak. He is the one who vindicates by being correct. He is the one through whom we can execute good judgment and be therefore justifiably rendered free of disputes with God. And all of this serves as the foundation of your throne. A loving relationship and genuine mercy, chesed, loyalty, devotion, enduring favoritism and affection, along with a steadfast commitment to the truth, wa emunah, trustworthiness and honesty, being reliable and dependable, encounter those who enter your presence. Now, whether you want to read Mizmor, lyrics to sing, Psalm 89:14, as speaking of your, as in capital letter Y, as in Yahweh, or little y, as in your son, they are essentially the same. Yahweh fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, and therefore made us eternal, perfect, and adopted us into his family, enriching and empowering us through his son. They did it collaboratively. They conveyed these songs collaboratively. Yahweh says that it was through Dod, his son, that he enabled all of the benefits of the covenant, brought it into fruition, and therefore it really doesn't matter if you come into Yahweh's presence and receive his mercy, or you come into Dod's presence and receive God's mercy through him. They are a team. They are father and son. They are a collaborative effort. Well, since Yahweh has pronounced that Dod was Sadak, right, throughout the prophets and these Mizmor, and noted that his Mishpat, that he has the ability to exercise good judgment and resolve disputes, and he transitioned to Dod in 89:13, referring to him as his Zeruah and Azaziah, it is possible that the psalmist is saying that the Makom, the foundation of Dod's Keseh, position of authority and power, his throne, is genuine love, loyalty and devotion, along with a steadfast commitment to the truth. And while all of these things would also apply to Yahweh as Father and Son, your throne and presence could be, as I have mentioned, lowercase or uppercase, and apply to Yisrael's king or to Almighty God. As such, it would describe what we should anticipate when we witness their appearance and we meet with them on Yom Kippurim. Or even more appropriately, the intent may have been to say that we can learn to be correct about Yahweh when we exercise good judgment with regard to the reason Dote has been afforded this position and granted this authority. The chesed, this loving relationship that the beloved developed with God as a result of the chesed, genuine mercy he experienced from his father, and the favoritism, they were both predicated upon his lifelong pursuit of emunah, truth. But following his example, we can count on the fact that Yahweh's mercy comes to those who trust and rely upon that which is correct. And if you want to be correct, you're going to acknowledge Yahweh by name, and you're going to recognize that Yahweh fulfilled the means for us to enter his presence through his beloved son, our Messiah and King, David. Being right is what perfects the imperfect, not faith. In this way, as the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb, Dod is the purveyor of salvation. Yahweh made it possible for Dod to serve as the Pesach Ael, and then to fulfill Matzah en route to Bikurim in year 4000 Yah, 33 CE, facilitating the benefits of the covenant. He would enable Yisraelites to immortalize and perfect their souls, enriching and empowering covenant members in the process. And because he has done this, we are committed to cultivating the Shabuah, the sevens, and the Teruah, the trumpets, in gatherings. The fourth and fifth Mikre invitations to be called out and meet while serving as heralds to his Kippurim return. The next stanza reads, delighted to show the way, because blessed are the people who are aware of and acknowledge Teruah, who walk with the light into your presence, Yahweh. Mizmor lyrics to be sung, Psalm 89:15. This statement nearly takes my breath away because of my role in bringing it to you. It begins with Ashri, delighted to show the way because blessed, happy to reveal the proper path to the relationship and treated favorably. It is from Asher, enjoying the benefits of the relationship by having been shown the steps to walk to get the most out of life. And Ani, me. This is the word that brought us together. Asher was the first word I translated, and in my favorite prophecy, 2 Samuel 7. It is the first word that Dod wrote in his first mizmor. And now it is introducing the role that Teruah will play in the redemption of God's people. The Ha'am are the family members. They are God's people and his family. The next verb, in fact, the first verb, is Yada. It is the name that I chose 23 years ago when I began translating Yahweh's testimony and sharing it. It means to know, to be familiar with, to be acquainted, to make known, to comprehend, and to understand. I am Yada. I began with Ashri. I serve the people and family of God. And I will do so more adroitly on Teruah than at any other time. And let me explain what I mean by that. The Teruah harvest occurs at the end of the 7 years of Israel's troubles. And it is that evening of the Teruah ingathering is a September 23rd in year 6000 Yah, which is 2033. That evening, I will orchestrate as the third Zeruah, cultivating the final ingathering of Israelites. Is a olive harvest, but a gleaning, which means it's just those who have come to accept the terms and conditions of the covenant and have embraced the benefits of the Moed Mikre during the 7 years of Israel's troubles. And there will be a river of light that goes from earth to the heavens as these Yehudim and Israelites are transformed into spiritual beings. I will not be making that journey with them. This was announced by Yeshaya in the 17th chapter. And the remnant of Yisrael, this mortal remnant of Yisrael, who will be there for the homecoming that is described in Zechariah 12, also described in Yirmiyah 31, to welcome the return of father and son on Kippurim, which is 10 days after Teruah that year. It's always 10 days after Teruah, but the date will be October 2nd, 6:22 p.m. as the sun sets in Jerusalem in 2033, 120th Yobel year. So as the sun rises on Teruah, a Shabbat, the Saturday of September 24th, 2033, I will serve as the Adam HaParah. I will be the final sacrifice. I will give my life to prepare this mortal remnant of Yisrael for Yahweh's return. You see, those Israelites in Jerusalem who were not included in the Teruah harvest were not prepared to meet God. But yet God is returning with his son in 10 days on Yom Kippurim, and he expects to have a joyous family reunion and homecoming. Someone has to fix them. Someone has to prepare them. And I will be the final sacrifice. The sacrifice is known as the red heifer. The term is actually Adam HaParah. It means a bloodied red man of the earth who will be particularly fruitful and productive in his ways. It is Yahweh who orchestrates these events. We've been covering them on our family hour. They will be orchestrated as I met, at least from the point of view of the master of ceremonies, by none less than the great orator, Elia, who will have returned 3.5 years earlier. And this will be the most important occasion on his life. He is going to reenact his battle against the religious and political establishment of Yisrael when he speaks before my body, which will have been bludgeoned by the corporeal manifestation of Satan on the Temple Mount. And as he prepares my carcass for its becoming a burnt offering, if you will, Yahweh is going to release copious amounts of water from beneath the Temple Mount to cleanse his people. He is then going to personally ignite the fire that's going to have flames that leap up to the heavens. And the mixture of the ash, the searing flames, and the cleansing waters will prepare the final remnant of Yahweh's people for the return of Messiah and his father, Yahweh, and Dod. And so when Yahweh speaks that his people, his family, should be aware of and acknowledge Yada, and his role on Teruah, this is something near and dear to me. And it should be to you. Because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. We're going to pick up our story, our presentation of this magnificent song, Dode's Song, the 89th Mizmor, in our next program. I want to thank you for listening. I am Yada, Craig Wynn, and this is the Iowa Blog.